Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Thank you for that wonderful music. My name is Isaac Rodriguez, and I'm pastor of Iglesia Bautista Bíblica El Faro, Lighthouse Bible Baptist Church in Pasadena. Some say here Pasadena. So we're out there. We'd love to have your pastor one day. I was able to meet him this week, and it's been a blessing to be able to meet him and be a friend to him, and I thank you for allowing me to be here tonight. I normally don't preach in English, so y'all, if I say bad words, that's okay. It's all right. Okay? I'm just kidding. But appreciate the opportunity, Pastor. Thank you for your friendship, and thank you. I know Brother Gonzalez is in his service. We were here for his family conference, and Brother Gonzalez told his people, you need to hang around Brother Isaac. He's a good person, and we brought him here, and I said, yeah, because everybody else told you no, so I was the last one on the list. But that's okay. That's all right. But it's a blessing always to be in the house of God. As long as he shows up, we're all right. So Jeremiah chapter 4, I'm going to try to hurry, but I'm going to preach something tonight. Some of the words that I read in the Bible, such as some of the harder words, please bear with me. I may end up saying it in Spanish, but what I'm going to preach tonight is something that I battled with for years. Growing up in a Christian home. My father's a pastor, my brother's a pastor, my other brother's a pastor, my cousin's a pastor, my uncle's a pastor, my brother-in-law is a pastor, other brother-in-law is a missionary Thailand. I can go down the list. Went to Christian school all my life, and 34 years, I've never been in a public school, never stepped foot in a public school. But something happens to us, unfortunately, when we grow up in church and we lose sight of reality. Jeremiah chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. I don't know if you guys usually stand up for the reading. Okay, all right. I'll just go ahead and read it. Jeremiah chapter 4, I'm going to read verses 1 through 6. If you'd be so kind just to follow me. If thou wilt return, O Israel, saith the Lord, return unto me. And if thou wilt put away thine abominations out of my sight, then shalt thou not remove. And thou shalt swear, the Lord liveth in truth and judgment and in righteousness, and the nations shall bless themselves in him, and in him shall they glory. For thus saith the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground and sow not among thorns. Circumcise yourselves to the Lord and take away the foreskins of your heart, ye men of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem, lest my fury come forth like fire and burn that none can quench it because of the evil of your doings. Declare ye in Judah and publish in Jerusalem and say, blow ye the trumpets in the land. Cry, gather together and say, assemble yourselves and let us go into the defensed cities. Set up the standard toward Zion. Retire, stay not, for I will bring evil from the north and a great destruction. Jeremiah here is prophesying during the reign of Josiah. He was commanded to preach the truth, just as we are commanded to preach the truth. He was commanded to say exactly what God had asked him to say, just as we are asked of God to say exactly what he wants us to say. Jeremiah is preaching from his heart, telling his people during the time of Josiah to turn back. However, there was something that was going on during the time of Josiah that I'd like to look at today. If you go with me, please, to 2 Kings chapter 22, please. We will read verses 1 through 5. Second Kings chapter 22, verses 1 through 5. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was, these are the words I'll probably read in Spanish, Chedida, and daughter of Adaiah and Baskath. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walketh in all the way of David his father, and turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. And it came to pass in the 18th year of King Josiah that the king sent Shaphan, the son of Azaliah, the son of Meshulam, the scribe, to the house of the Lord, saying, go up to Hilkiah, the high priest, that he may sum the silver which is brought into the house of the Lord, which the keepers of the door have gathered of the people. And let them deliver it into the hand of the doers of the work, that they have oversight of the house of the Lord. And let them give it unto the doers of the work which is in the house of the Lord, to repair the breaches of the house. However, during this same time period that Jeremiah was prophesying, was preaching, King Josiah was attempting to bring forth revival. He was attempting to bring forth a reality in loving God. And he was trying to fix the house of God, but he was trying to do it via a reformation. His intentions were noble. His intentions were good and with great purpose. Evidently, the reformation was taking place prior to having found the law. The book of the law. And many times we live from reformation to reformation, and we don't have revival in our heart. And when you grow up in the things of God, when you grow up in the Christian school, we live from reformation to reformation, and there's not a true revival in our hearts. We want to change the outside. We want to make sure we look good on the outside, when the inside is way far from God and there's not a true revival in our hearts. Would God tonight come in our hearts and stir us and give us a revival? Not, I'm tired of living from reformation to reformation. For years I did that. I knew how to be a Christian. When I was most rebellious in the Christian school, preacher, I won the fruit of the Spirit of the world. And I'm not kidding. I mean, at the end of the year, I was rebellious. I was listening to music I ought not listen to. And I was just being rebellious with my parents. And I earned the fruit of the Spirit of Word. Because I knew how to live from reformation to reformation, from external change to external change. And it's time that God will grab our hearts and we have true revival in the young folks of this church, in the middle age, in everybody, that God will be real in our lives. Josiah had a noble and a fair and a wonderful purpose, but you can't bring revival decorating the outside. It has to start in the inside, and it will come out. But they were trying to do this, and they had not yet found the book of the law. For that same reason, what was taking place here was a reformation and not a revival. What was occurring in the time of Josiah was superficial. It was not internal, it was external. Even though Josiah was sincere and moved toward God, in his move towards God, the people of Israel were not changing course. They were not turning to God by the way of true revival. Jeremiah would have been preaching that way if they were turning to God, but they were not turning to God. It was something superficial. It was something external. And every young person that's been raised in church, you know exactly what I'm talking about. We know how to dress. We know how to talk the talk. We know how to act the Christian. But inside, we're so far from God that this book is no longer real to us. Christianity is no longer real. It's a, let's do my duty in going to church on Sunday. And it's no longer real because we've learned to live from reformation to reformation. We've learned to change the external and not the internal. In Jeremiah 4, we find the second message that Jeremiah gives. His message starts in chapter 3, ends in chapter 6, and he is dealing with the backsliding people. Man, praise God, there ain't no backsliding people here. You know, what I'm preaching is for those people over there on the other side, for the Spanish over on the other side. That's what it is for. Chapter 3, verse 22, the Bible says, return, ye backsliding children, and I will heal your backsliding. Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 10, and yet for all this, her treacherous sister Judah hath not turned unto me her whole heart, but I think the word is feignly, saith the Lord. Feignly means it's not real. It's fictitious. It's counterfeit. How many times have we lived a counterfeit Christian life? How many times have we lived a fictitious Christian life? We read a daily prayer. We read a couple of verses and we feel good. But God has not spoken to us. God has not changed us. We're the same every day. Would God come down today and speak to our hearts and change us from the inside out? The people were superficially turning back to the Lord of hosts. It was fictitious. It was counterfeit. They were going to the temple practicing their rituals, but their hearts were not really turned over to God. King Josiah was trying to produce a desire in them. But allow me to say something. A reformation is not a revival from within. The fact that one changes the outside because they're afraid of what people are going to say about them. They're afraid what the preacher's going to say. They're afraid what the school teacher's going to say. And they change the outside, but the inside has not been changed. That will eventually be washed out. But when there's a true revival in the heart, well, we can care less what the people think about us. We just want to make sure that he's all right with how we are inside. One can smile and hate their brother. One can say hi to somebody and have it against somebody. Hell, my Bible says that if I am of God, I ought to love my brother. No, not everybody's going to think the same. Not everybody's going to do the same thing. But I ought to love my brother because at the end of the day, we'll all be standing in heaven before God. And is it then that I'm going to get right with my brother? Sometimes people say, I can't speak to him. There's something between us. So what's the difference when you get to heaven? He's standing in heaven. You're standing in heaven. What's the difference? I know what the difference is. The presence of Christ. And we walk so many places on this earth. We don't have the presence of Christ. That's why we can't be right with our brother, because our internal self is so far from God. But we have the suit. We have the tie. We have the dress. But we don't have the relationship. Since there was a reformation going on, God inspired Jeremiah. If you don't mind going back to Jeremiah, please. And I'm going to try to run through this as soon as possible, as fast as possible. Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 16 through 18. Jeremiah was inspired by the Holy Spirit of God, by God that's preached this. And it says, "And it shall come to pass, when ye be multiplied and increased in the land," and he goes on preaching, verse 17, "at that time," then verse 18, "in those days." This is the time of King Josiah. There are specific phrases in these verses that we just read that should have alarmed Israel, that should have scared Israel, that should have put fear in the heart of Israel. What do you mean at that time? What do you mean and it shall come to pass? I mean, we're fixing the house of God here. God goes, "Oh yeah, but it's not time, because your hearts are far from God. Oh, your money may be there, but your hearts are far from God. Oh, you're restoring, you're fixing the breaches in the house of God, but you're far from God." Even though it was a futuristic preaching from Jeremiah, the Lord in his love continued to offer them a way out. Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 22. "Return ye backsliding children, and I will heal your backsliding." How often us as Christians, we tend to live from reformation to reformation. I mean, the church house, we know the verses. We know the stories. We know David and Goliath. We know King Saul. We know the stories of Abraham. We know the story, and that's all it is to us, stories. It's not real. It's not a true relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Many profess themselves Christians and ritually live their Christian life apathetically, cold, and with a little interest. 34 years, I believe, if I can remember correctly, I only missed 2 services in 34 years. 2 services. I'm talking about Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. Sometimes Thursday, depending on what church we're in. And I was at Christian school. You know, Christian school, you have, you know, chapel every day or at least 3 days a week. I have about 130 years of regular of preaching in my life in 34 years that a normal Christian probably would have. But I would do it, if you're honest with yourself, some here may say the same thing, habitually. I mean, it's part of it. I would even tithe habitually. I mean, it's just part of my life. But I never had a real true relationship with Jesus Christ where I knew this book was real to me, where it wasn't real just when I came to the house of God. It was real when I went to my house. It's real when I go into my vehicle. It's real when I go to my job. It's real everywhere I step my foot. It's real. I didn't have that for so many years. And I realized I'm just living from reformation to reformation. I'm just making sure that people are happy the way I look externally. And I can care less. I didn't say it, but what God thought about me internally. Yes, many are saved, and with time, God gives them victory over alcoholic beverages, smoking, adulteries, drugs, etc. But all of that is external. All of that is something that people want to get rid of so nobody else sees them do. I mean, everybody wants to leave drugs besides some weird people. Everybody would love to stop smoking. Some can't. They battle. Everybody would love to stop getting drunk and saying things and doing things they ought not to do. That's external. And many people get satisfied with that. However, with the passing of time, Christians tend to become satisfied, as I became satisfied, with those external and superficial changes that tend to occur in Christian habitual progress. In other words, we live by habit. By habit, we go to church. By habit, we sing the hymns. The hymns are no longer something special. We don't sing from the heart. We sing from the lips. We don't sing from the profoundness of our heart to give praise and honor to whom is worthy of praise and honor. I heard an old story how my Savior came. What time is it, my love? Yeah, you know, just Christ. He came down and gave his life for us. We've heard it so many times. And we don't sing from the heart anymore. Habitual singing. Going to church. You dress correctly. We dress correctly. Our lives are so monotonous that our Christian life have become almost like our secular job. Even though one doesn't like it, they go. And the teenager's like, Ma, again, we got to go to church in the evening? Unfortunately, many Christians obtain more gratification because they receive a check from their secular job than what they receive in the church house. Because we've been changed from the outside, but we don't have a change internally. Now, maybe nobody here is like me. I was just pretty sorry. Maybe you are. I mean, you're just living on revival. And let me touch you. But maybe there's just one person here who says, you know what? Brother Isaac, that's me. That is me. I want this book to be real to me. But what you and I need is an inner revival that converts us from the ways of reformation and places us on the path of revival, transformation. Jeremiah 4:1 says, If thou wilt return, O Israel, saith the Lord, return unto me, and if thou wilt put away thine abominations out of my sight, then shalt thou not remove. The Lord was vitally interested in his people, and he wanted them to turn to him in order to have the true relationship with him. Verse 2 and 3, real quick, in chapter 4, And thou shalt swear to the Lord, liveth in the truth, in judgment, and in righteousness, and the nations shall bless themselves in him, and in him shall they glory. For thus saith the Lord to them, to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground and sow not among thorns. In other words, the reformation was not good. You can sow a seed, but the ground needs to be prepared first. We're so infiltrated with so many problems nowadays. We read the Bible and we got Facebook set next to us. We got messaging from our phone. We hear that our family has problem in this state, in this country, in this place, and we're trying to read the Bible, and we're also reading the problems, and reading the Bible, and reading the problems. Satan has done an excellent job in consuming our time. Well, these stories have become fictitious. These stories have become VeggieTales to us. It's no longer real. In other words, the plowshare of conviction should overturn the hard dirt of the heart, Ironside said. Oh, how many times we live in a fantasy, believing that we have everything well planned, or trusting in ourselves Many a times we trust in this nation. I thank God for this nation. But any nation that turns their back against God will not win. We must understand that the path that America, that us as Christians and our churches are taking, will cause us to have complete desolation. We better have a real relationship with our God, the God of our fathers and the God of Israel. Great Babylonian Empire was destroyed in one night. Alexander the Great died in one night, and his entire empire was demised. The Roman Empire was destroyed from within. We can no longer trust in the bank. I mean, a lot of people are trusting in the bank. Are you kidding me? You have money saved, and it's going to be there tomorrow. Yeah, it may be worth, what do they say now? I think a dollar's worth literally about, is it 15 cents, 30 cents? I don't know. We put our faith and our trust on the money and our homes and everything that we have. Brother, sister, all we need is a roof to get us from here to heaven. All we need is a bread and something to drink to get us from here to heaven. This is not our home. Our mansion is waiting for us in heaven. The streets of gold are waiting for us in heaven. That is our home. But we get so bogged down and tied with this world. We're trying to plan. No, I know what I do a lot of times. Maybe you don't do this, but many times I say, well, God, these are my plans. Can you give me your stamp of approval right there? We never want to give them a blank piece of paper. Why don't you write your plans there? Because we don't have a relationship with Christ like we ought to. I'm on my last page, so. Jeremiah chapter 5. We'll go quick here. Thank you for your patience. I'm going to try as quick as possible to finish up. Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 1. Run ye and fro through the streets of Jerusalem, and see now, and know, and seek in the broad places there if you can find a man. If there be any that execute judgment, that seeketh the truth, and I will pardon it. And though they say, the Lord liveth, surely they swear falsely. Man, we're the first ones to say, praise God. But when a problem comes, when a battle comes, when difficulties come, when problems, economic problems come, we no longer praise. We no longer praise the Lord of hosts. We try to figure things out. We start getting frustrated. Men stop talking to their family. Men stop talking to their kids. I thank God that Abraham, even though he was in a test, he listened to the voice of God and his son Isaac when Isaac called him. He's looking for a man. Verse 3, O Lord, are not thine eyes upon the truth? Thou hast stricken them, but they have not grieved. God's like, thou hast stricken them, they have not grieved. Thou hast consumed them. It's like Lot. I mean, the kings came and took Lot. And Abram had to come and save him. And Lot went back to Sodom and Gomorrah. I mean, you would think that, you know, Lot, you would get it, no? How many times God works in our lives, in teenagers' lives, in kids' lives. Maybe God causes a grief in your heart, causes pain in your heart, causes you to maybe lose a little bit of stableness in your faith, and we still do not turn to Him. We'll finish with this, 2 Kings chapter 22. I was telling a preacher that I have a pastor friend that he preached 3.5 hours. He didn't realize it. And I said, don't worry, I'm not smart enough to do that. I am not going to read the whole story here. But we know what happened. Verse 8 of chapter 22, 2 Kings. And Hilkiah, is that how you say it? Hilkiah the high priest said unto Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. You and I will not have revival until we find the book of the law. You and I can have easily external change.
We can easily stop smoking. We can easily stop drinking. We can easily change that. But many times when people try to do without Christ, eventually they'll fall back again. Verse 9. Well, actually, verse 11. And it came to pass when King had heard the words of the book that he rent his clothes. I mean, he opened so God can see his inner self. I can continue preaching here, but I don't want to take up much of your time. I just want to share with you. I know how it is to live the monotonous Christian life. I know how it is to go to church. I know how it is to tithe. I know how it is to sow in. I know how it is to just do the habitual Christian thing. I know how it is. For years I did it. For years. I'm talking about 25 years, 26 years. I did it. And I realize it's not the fact that I know how to do it. It's the fact, why do I do it? It's not that I can hit the note when I sing a special. And don't worry, I don't sing specials. But it's, why do I hit that note? It's not that I can play the piano and I can't play the piano. It's, why do I play the piano? It's not that I can play the violin. It's, why do I play that violin? It's not the external talent. It's the inner love for our Lord Jesus Christ. This book is so special. I started, I'm not a smart man, by no means of definition of smart. But I started studying a little bit of Hebrew. Anybody know Hebrew here? A little bit. There, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 is Bereshit bara Elohim et. It is two symbols. It's the, just, we will call it letters, but two symbols. It's not in English or Spanish. The first symbols, well, now they changed the symbols a little bit, but the first ones was a calf and a cross. In the beginning, he announced a sacrifice on the cross. In the beginning, he announced that one day there's going to be a sacrifice on the cross. There was no such thing as sacrifice on a cross in those times. The Romans came up with that thousands of years after. Interesting enough, if you grab all the names of the tribe of Judah and you add up their numerical value, it's the same numerical value in Greek of Lord Jesus Christ. Even the tribes of Judah announced the Messiah that was going to come. Because this book is real. It's powerful. But we? Yeah, David killed Goliath. And we just cut the little pictures, which is fine. But we don't have a true relationship with Christ. That's why sometimes we battle with loving our brothers, loving our sisters. That's why sometimes we battle with forgiveness. How can I forgive him? How can I forgive for easy? Forgive as Christ also hath forgiven you. I cannot be used of the Lord, nor can you, if I have something against one person in this world. Not everybody, not all of us are going to think the same. Trust me, you're probably going to think a lot smarter than I. But we are brothers and sisters in Christ. Maybe you're here and you're saying, you know what, this is my first time, second time, third time. I've been here a lot of times. And I'm not even sure if I know Christ as my personal Savior. You know, I've been trying to change. I come to church and I leave and I battle with the same thing. And I keep trying to change and I'm just waiting for that moment to repent and ask Christ to save me. Maybe today's that day. Stop trying to live from reformation to reformation. And let God cause a transformation in your heart. May God help us with your eyes closed and your heads bowed, Pastor. Let's stand.